Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are you feeling? Awesome. I'm just going to invite everybody to come up to the altar. Everybody, come on. Let's stand up and honor Jesus this morning. And we're going to get right into it. Father, I thank you that we can come to your altar with complete confidence in knowing who we are in you, Jesus. That your word says that we are more than conquerors, that we are kings and priests, Jesus, that we have all authority over the enemy, Jesus. So I just thank you that we can celebrate in the fact that we are amazing in you, Jesus, that our identity is not in our work, but it's in you and the fact that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, can I see you guys clap a little bit? It looks good. I know you know this song because we've done it enough, so I want to see you guys moving and singing, all right?
We are a chosen generation, called for to show his excellence. All I require for the life that God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called for to show his excellence. to show is excellent. All I require for life God has given me, and I know who I am.
Sing, we are chosen.
We are a chosen generation, called for to show is excellent. All I require for life God has given me, and I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what he says I am, when he says I'm at. I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what he says I am, where he says I'm at. I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm working miracles. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm working miracles. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. Oh, 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 oh. I know who I am.
Sing, oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh. I know who I am.
All right, can you guys do me a favor? I want you to pick one person at this altar, go up to them and tell them who God says you are. Say hi, my name is Mackenzie, and God says that I'm more than a conqueror. Go ahead, that's your example. Go ahead, go tell somebody. Go testify what God says who you are. I want you guys to get that in your spirit and actually believe it. Hi, Grace. My name is Mackenzie, and God says that I'm beautiful. Hi, Brittany. I know who I am. God says that I'm organized. Amen. I'm administrative. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm declaring that. See, when you get the word of God in your spirit, when you start declaring over your life what God has already declared over you, it starts to feel good, right? So there's a reason to celebrate this morning, okay? All right. Let's sing I Am Holy. Come on, sing it out.
I am holy. I am righteous. Oh, I am so rich. I am beautiful. I am holy. I am righteous. Oh,
I'm not ashamed.
shout your name up louder and louder. We lift your name up higher and higher. We shout your name. Shout your name up louder and louder. We lift your name.
I'm still in your hands. This is Hallelujah. Those that hunger and thirst shall be filled. There is such a fresh Spirit of God in this place, a changing of atmosphere in this place this morning. Whatever you have need of, whatever mountain, we've seen Him move mountains. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever you have need of, a fresh Spirit of God is present in this place. Not yesterday's word. Not yesterday. Today, fresh and new promises of God are as vibrant today as they were 2,000 years ago. They still stand. Amen. I just am so excited as we entered into this month of August, because I remembered a year ago when I was diagnosed with cancer. It's been 1 year, no treatments, just the miracle working power of God. And every day, every fresh new day, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful for every fresh day that I get to serve my awesome God. And He is no respecter of persons. Whatever you have need of in the presence of God today, He will do. He moves mountains. He moves mountains. And He'll do it again and again and again and again and again and again. You don't have to get stale and stagnant in the things of God. Today is a fresh, brand new day in His presence. Hallelujah. Woo. I just don't want to leave from that place. But what He's going to do through the Word today is going to completely alter our lives. So let's, as we go back to our seats, greet one another and prepare ourselves. Open our spirits. Stay right in this place of believing. Open yourself up and prepare for the Word of the Lord that will alter us today. Atmospheres are changing now in the name of Jesus. Make sure you greet someone. Be friendly. In order to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. Greet someone. Say hello. Hug their neck.
We are a chosen generation, called for to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called for to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. I know who God says I am.
Fun, but we need some help.
Fun!
If you sign up right over here, text RTC to 555-888 and Hey, family, guess what's coming up? Rock the City, August
20th. Rock the City!
Rock the City, August 24th through August 26th. It's going to be so much fun, but we need some help.
Fun!
If you sign up right over here, text RTC to 555-888 and fill out that form. We'll have your information and you'll be able to help serve your community. Nothing?
Serve the community!
I can't do this, guys.
On Saturday night, we're doing fireworks. We're going to be giving away a cruise. We're going to be giving away hoverboards, Xboxes. We're going to have a huge family adventure course, inflatables. We're going to have everything. It's going to be amazing. So make sure you invite your friends, invite your family. And if you are volunteering, we have a team day on August 20th, right after second service. We want to see you there.
Hey ladies, it's that time again, Women's Encounter. November 2nd to the 4th, the cost is $325, but your first deposit of $100 is due August 15th. I want to encourage you ladies, my life changed and yours can too. Women's Encounter, sign up today.
On August 6th at 5:30 p.m., we're having our Awakened Monthly. Babe, what are we doing?
We're going to be having a luau, so if you have a Hawaiian shirt, wear it, come out, and we'll see you at 5:30.
I didn't wait for you to say good morning back because I know usually it's kind of like good morning. So I just kind of moved right on. If you're a guest in this house, we want to welcome you. Would you raise your hand? We have a guest packet. We're not going to embarrass you. I promise we're not going to make you stand. We just need to raise your hand. Yes, let's give them a round of applause. Welcome to our family. It's so good to have you with us today. In your guest packet, you are going to receive a ticket. That ticket is for right after service, my left, your right. We have a guest reception. We have coffee, snacks, and you have a chance to meet some of the pastoral team, and we get to kind of tell you what we're about. So we love you. We're thankful that you joined us today. If you're watching via live stream, welcome. Enjoy. Get ready. Service is about to be crazy. It's already been awesome, but it's about to get even better. All right, August 13th. We have something happening, and Pastor Spencer, unfortunately, really struggled to understand what I was saying in first service, so I've decided I'm going to tell it to you in an American accent. So, we have our church picnic, and if you could bring a dish to pass, that would be awesome. Seriously, guys, please bring something. It's going to be an awesome time of fellowship. It's great to be here, but it's also great to get out and have fun together. So we're really excited. Next week, August 13th, right after second service, Pastor Chad.
And then we've got Remnant Bible Institute, which is really exciting. We have a Bible college right here where you can get trained up and equipped to minister the gospel and to teach yourself how to go deeper in your relationship with Christ. And so the classes start August 21st. They are coming up quickly. You need to see Pastor Obi before August 16th or today, and then you can register. We have both online classes and then a full-time Bible school that happens every single day. And so figure out where you want to be and what you want to do, and make sure you register today with Pastor Obi for Remnant Bible Institute.
And then we have our Awaken monthly service tonight. It's going to be incredible. Pastor Obi is also preaching that, so we're excited and expectant for what he's going to do. But if you want, like, food, we also have kebabs with some chicken and some pineapple we're going to grill up. We have some fruity drinks that we're going to give out, some volleyball, and some a lot of other things, you know. Now, many other things that you may be interested in hanging out. So if you are between 18 and 30, lift your hand up high. We've got some friends that are going to pass out some cards. Keep your hand up high. We want to invite you out. It is tonight, 5:30, right at the church. I see some of your hands. You are not under 30, but we still love you. And so, yes, we will see you guys 5:30 tonight. Pastor Rhonda with the tithe and offering.
Awesome. It sounds like a lot of fun. Pastor and I don't qualify anymore. But I just want to share a couple testimonies before we get into offering, because God is moving and doing incredible things in this place. I got to share real quickly my testimony of God's miracle working power healing cancer in my life. But also, Brother Ed Steinhauer came to me a couple weeks back, and he had been believing and praying that God would heal cancer that was diagnosed in his body, and he is completely healed of cancer. Went back, got the test, no cancer in his body. So praise the Lord. And then some of our young adults, I just love this family so much. I love you. Pastor and I love celebrating and pastoring you as a church. Some of our young adults, it wasn't organized. It wasn't anything on the schedule or planned. They weren't commissioned to do it by the church, just by God. Went out all on their own, soul winning yesterday. They're like, five or six of them, we're just going to go out in the streets and share Jesus with people. So they were able to lead four people to the Lord, and one man was healed, and he's in church today. He had a miracle in his life. 70% of his body was steel from a major accident that he was in, and was in a lot of excruciating pain, walked with a walker and could barely get around. Well, after they prayed for him, he got rid of that walker, and he's here today, and he told us in the guest reception room that he walked around until 2:30 a.m. He was so excited that he could walk again. God is in the miracle business. Amen. So as we begin our tithes and offering, I just always want to bring it to the Word of God, not the word of Pastor Spencer or TV evangelist. We want it simply to be the Word of God brought to you regarding our finances. And Leviticus 27:30 says, the tithe, 10%, that means the tithe belongs to the Lord. Where does our 10% belong? It belongs to the Lord. It is holy unto God. So if I were to borrow something from you and then just keep it, have you ever had somebody do that? Like borrow your lawnmower or your hedge clippers or something, or maybe even your car, and just keep it? You can't keep something that's just that you've borrowed. You have to return. And if you return it, is it any fantastic thing that you returned it? No, it's reasonable and logical that you would return what belongs to somebody else. The tithe belongs to the Lord according to His word, His holy word. And in Malachi 3:10, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And I just love God so much because He doesn't just tell us that 10% belongs to us. He then gives us a covenant and promises when we give. And those we recite every single week in Deuteronomy 28. So if you're ready to give your tithe, which is holy to the Lord, and your offerings, please stand to your feet. And we'll make those covenant promises declaration together. If you'll repeat after me, Deuteronomy 28 says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. to bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream along with us, you can give also by clicking on the giving button or text to give.
We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. I know who God says I am.
It almost is. Rock the City is coming August 24th through August 26th. We are doing our annual, I call it an open air crusade, but our annual event where we reach and impact our community. I am so excited. If you guys could put my graphic up for us. What I love about His Tabernacle Family Church is that we are actually family. You see, we do things together, we participate together, and Rock the City was one of the most successful events we've ever done because we are family and we do it together. And so we are looking out, and I mean, last year it was amazing because there were three major things that stuck out to me that changed my life. The first, we had 196 people come and get saved during our event. 196 people's lives will never ever be the same again, and it is so amazing, and that touches my heart. And I know there's some people that are sitting here today because of Rock the City. And so the second thing was just seeing our volunteers. You know, normally when an event is over, everybody's trying to run out and see who can get home first because we're tired and we've worked hard. But after Rock the City last year, we had over 100 people that stayed. Not just us, but other people that have been impacted by the park, putting up chairs, taking down the stage, cleaning up the park. It was such an amazing experience. So I want to give you guys an opportunity right now. If you'd like to volunteer as the at Rock the City, you can text RTC to 555-888, and we'll give you a form to fill out. If technology is not your friend, we have a paper sign-up sheet right out in the booth, and you can sign up and let us know where and how you want to help us. But guys, it's going to be in Thorn Street Park this year. Saturday night, we are doing fireworks, a whole fireworks show, and I'm expecting on that Saturday night to have well over 2,000 people gathered to watch the fireworks show. I was actually going through the registrations. There were 2,700 people that came through the five nights at Grove Street Park, and I'm believing for bigger and better things for this year. So let us know if you want to volunteer and help out in a specific area. In the third miracle or amazing thing that I saw was we raised every single penny of Rock the City in 4 weeks last year. 4 weeks it took us to raise what it could take another church an entire year to raise. That's why I can say that we are family, because we see the vision that Pastor Spencer and the Lord has on this house, And we know that we're going that direction, and we have the support of our people and of our family, essentially. So before I go, I wanted to read to you this scripture. In 2 Corinthians 8, 9 through 11, Paul is talking to one of the churches that he was previously at. It said, "You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Here is my advice. It would be good for you to finish what we started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give. You were the first to begin doing it. Now we should finish what we started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have." And this is an encouragement for me, because I want to say to this house, be encouraged by what happened last year. And the same amount that we gave, the same opportunity that we had paying it off in 4 weeks, let's do the same this year and say, "Lord, use me in my finances and in my works and in my talents to make this thing happen this year better than last year." So guys, if ushers, if you could pass down the seed envelopes, I want to encourage us that the Holy Spirit is the only one that's going to give you the amount that you need to give. We're not going to tell you, but let me say, let's be obedient to what the Holy Ghost wants us to do. And so whatever that amount is, sometimes it's scary because he stretches us. Other times we have the full faith to do it. But whatever he's saying to you and whatever he said to me, let's do that and be faithful. And let's see God work in our community, change our region, impact the people like never before, and watch God use this house to do it. So can you turn to your neighbor and say, "I'm part of the family"? All right. And so if everybody could take a second, stand up with me. We're going to pray real quick over the seat. Father, I thank you for what you've called us to do. Lord, I thank you that every single seed that's going to be sown is going to receive a harvest 30, 60, 100-fold, Lord. I thank you that the seed that we are giving will see 300 souls saved during Rock the City this year. Lord, do it in us first so that we can change our region. And bless the hands that are giving in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Come and give your offerings this morning.
Our God reigns. We lift you up, up. Let it be known that love has come. Love has won. We lift you up, up. Let it be known that our God saves. Our God reigns. We lift you up, up. Let it be known that love has come. Love has won. We lift you up, up, up.
Brother Kenny. I love you, Brother Kenny. Everybody say hi to Brother Kenny. Praise the Lord. I want to give away a rock solid faith book. The ordeal of giving this away is you've got to be able to come, okay? So if you're going to grab the book, you've got to come to the class. All right? So if you would like a rock solid faith book, you can come get it. Better be quick. Someone's running behind you. There you go. You're coming to this class, right? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about today's message. I really sought the Lord on some of the principles that we need to get a hold of today. This is the year of... Oh, you're awful quiet this morning. I said, this is the year of... We are... You know, on that last night of Rock the City, when we have the fireworks, I'm excited because we're going to have Pastor Chad preach the gospel just before the fireworks go off. We're not going to let them sit there and think they're going to escape. They can escape all the services, but they're going to get the gospel before those fireworks go off. Amen? So we're not just doing fireworks to say we're doing fireworks. We're doing it any way you're going to catch a fish. Can I hear an amen? Some of those folks, it may be the very first time they ever hear the gospel. You know, I found, strangely enough, there's a lot of folks that have gone to church but have never heard the gospel. And that's pretty scary, isn't it? I remember I led a man to the Lord. He grew up in a denominational church his whole life. At that point, he was 32 years old. And his wife had left him, and he came to the church. And I was able to sit down with him and shared with him Jesus. Do you know what he said to me? He said, I've gone to church my whole life and have never heard this before. You'd be blown away how many folks that you think just because they go to church, they know the gospel or have had opportunity to be saved. I want to know it's not true. Don't assume. Lead someone to Jesus this week. Tell somebody about the Lord. Tell somebody about how to get saved. You'd be blown away how many folks will be shocked because they've never heard the gospel. We've been preaching upon the presence of the Lord and how God's presence changes everything. How God's presence is generous. Do you realize that if we were in the Old Testament, we would not have the presence of God like we have today? Do you realize we would not have the opportunity to come to a service like this and literally, tangibly feel the presence of the Lord? Really, the only ones who ever were in the presence of the Lord were mainly the priests, the prophets, and the kings. They were the only ones who were actually able to go. In fact, only once a year was the high priest able to go into the very holy of holies. It's amazing that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that the temple veil was rent from top to bottom. And you and I can now come to the throne of God boldly. We can go into the presence of the Lord anytime we want to because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And if that doesn't excite you, you need to try and say, amen. I love the fact that you, now that you're born again, you become the very temple of the Holy Ghost, that literally you're possessed by God himself. You see, learning how to live in the presence of the Lord, learning how to practice the presence of the Lord is what we've been talking about the last few weeks. If you weren't here, you can grab them on histabernacle.com. Go up to watch, go to archives. You need to watch these messages. Why? Because you want to make sure you're not missing anything. You know, line upon line, precept upon precept. Sometimes if you don't, you know what? If you're learning addition and you skip school the day 1 plus 1, you're never going to make it to 2 plus 2. We need to learn how to live and practice the presence of the Lord. I want you to open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, verses 3 through 5, and it says this. When the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me before the waters. The waters came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters came to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim. Everybody shout, I want to swim. Come on, tell somebody else, I want to swim. One which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. We talked about how God and every one of us live in an environment. We all have different environments, but the one thing is that the environment does not constitute the atmosphere. We are the ones that determine the atmosphere that that environment will take on. How do we know that? When Paul and Silas were in the bottom of the prison, they had opportunity. The environment was imprisonment. The environment was constraint. The environment was death. The environment was everything but what we would consider proper. But in that place, they decided in that environment to create an atmosphere. And when they brought the presence of the Lord, when they invited the presence of the Holy Spirit, when God's presence filled that jail, it shook it at its very core. I want you to know that every environment is subject to the atmosphere that you and I create. And if it's heavenly, God can turn something that is into something that is not. God can bring miracles through the environments that we create with atmosphere. So I've been praying and I've been saying, God, I know I've watched people over the years and almost 30 years of ministry. I've watched people step into the presence of the Lord and God changes their life automatically. And then I've watched other people, Lord, they step into the presence of the Lord and stay away from the presence of the Lord. Why is that? You see, I love to know the whys. I ask God the whys all the time. I love what David did. He inquired of the Lord. I inquire of him because he knows what he's talking about. You see, you and I, we have the opportunity to step into the presence of the Lord, whether it be ankle deep, whether it be knee deep, whether it be waist deep, or whether we swim is not determined by God. He has an environment every single day, every single opportunity to step into and create an atmosphere no matter what environment we live in. But we'll find that many people do not live in the atmosphere of God. They just allow their environments to control their life. And today, God wants to teach you through the presence of the Lord how you can control every environment by you creating the atmosphere. Without the presence of God, without the atmosphere of heaven, the only arm you have to lean on is the arm of the flesh. The only thing you can do is what you can do. But when we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit, when we invite the presence of God, when we invite the one who said, let there be and there was, when we invite the I am that I am, when we invite the supernatural King of Kings who said, rise from the dead and they did, when we invite him into our present, no matter what the atmosphere, we're inviting the supernatural power of God to manifest the very love of Jesus wherever we are. You see, the power of inviting the presence, the power of living within presence is that time stops. Man, I tell you, when you get enveloped in the presence of the Lord, I love this factor. Linear time gets overtaken by eternal time. You see, when you're submerged in the presence of the Lord, when you're overwhelmed in the presence of the Lord, time seems to stop in linear, and all of a sudden, time just flies by. An hour could be like a minute to you and I. That's what I love about the presence of the Lord, is getting so deep in his presence that it doesn't matter what linear says, it matters what eternal gives. And every time we are in the presence of the Lord, every need that we need can be met. Remember when they were in the house? There was a man that the presence of the Lord was so thick. Jesus said the presence of the Lord is here to heal. But yet the room was so filled that there was nobody else could fit in. So his buddies grabbed him and lowered him from the ceiling. And Jesus raised the paralytic. How did he do that? The presence of the Lord was there to heal. And you see, wherever the presence of the Lord is, there is everything that you need. We have a concept of religion within our life. That old religious cow that needs to be slaughtered. Well, why does it need to be slaughtered? Because we rely upon our religion, but don't understand that with presence of the Lord, there is literally, not figuratively, nothing that cannot be accomplished. We've got to get back to the kingdom of God, get back to the passion of God, get back to the presence of God, get back in his presence, and get submerged in the glory of God. You see, when you're in the presence of the Lord, what I love is that revelation is released. Relationships are deepened. His voice becomes clearer. His direction is not difficult. You see, when you don't know what to do, what do? Stand still until you get in the presence of the Lord. For the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. You see, when we understand that the presence of God to a believer is everything in our life. Seek ye, seek ye. Seek ye. When you seek ye first the kingdom of God, who is the kingdom of God? But Jesus Christ and his righteousness. The more you know him, the more you're around him, the more his presence is with you. Whether it be ankle deep, man, I want you to know that God wants to take you beyond where you are and submerge you in his presence, that what you and I have of will become nullified and no great comprehension necessary to lay hold of. Why? Because Jesus Christ can do all things, and it's time for the believers to start getting into the presence of the Lord like we've never done before. Every one of us have and live in the depths of the presence of God that we want. Every one of us. If you remember a few years ago, I told you about a missionary that came to our Bible school. His name was Michael. It's a good name. Came to our Bible school, and he's this tall, lanky, thin dude. And he's standing up on the pulpit area during worship, and he's just like this. I'm not even exaggerating. And we're all staring at him like, you're nuts. And then he got up and he told his story. He was a missionary in Mozambique. And while he was there, he was snatched. And they threw him in jail. They threw him in a prison. Not like American. They dug a hole, threw him in the bottom of the hole. That's where he defecated. That's where he urinated. And they threw food and water into the hole for him to drink. He lived there 2 years. He said, I had to learn. That's the environment he was in. But he said he had to learn how to live within the presence of the Lord. And he said, I don't care what you would say about me. I don't care how you view me. He says, I know my Savior. He set me free. He was my friend in that hole. He was my presence. He was my Lord. He was my God. My relationship. Listen now. You see, he could jump unrestrained, uncaring. Why? Because he had a place in the presence of God that many people will never have. Every one of us determine the depth of God that we want. And scarily, many people just stay ankle deep. The Bible says that those different depths, one was ankle. And that's where salvation happens. What I love about salvation is Jesus changes our lives. Can I hear an amen? How many of you had the blood of Jesus wash your sins away? How many of you had a genuine God supernatural experience at salvation? Man, you can't even doubt the fact that Jesus washed your sins away. Amen? You know you've been changed by the power of God. The Bible makes this declaration in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You see, the moment you get saved, the presence of the Lord comes in and confirms that you're a child of heaven. It's not a religious little, please repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Please forgive me. Amen. That does not get you saved. That's a nice little prayer. What gets you saved is when you meet it with your heart and your mouth, and all of a sudden the presence of the Lord comes in. You go from darkness to light. You go from death to life. You immediately, once you were lost, but now you're found, and you become possessed by the Spirit of the living God. And his Spirit, the presence of the Lord, will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of heaven. Religion will not save you. It's the presence of the Lord when Jesus washes your sins away and dwells inside, for you possess the very presence of heaven called the Holy Ghost. You see, this is the need to make sure that when you and I are serving the Lord, this is not about religion. It's not about what it was in the past. Where are you now in your relationship with the Lord? Where are you now in your intimacy with God? And so many believers, listen, I'll just be straight with you. So many believers are ankle deep. They've gotten saved, glory to God. Thank God they're no longer damned for hell, but they're saved for heaven. Can I hear an amen? But that's not the end, that's the beginning. And so many believers, they like it here because it's okay here. They know they're going to heaven here, but nothing has to change here. There's an old song, it's the things I used to do, and the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. Places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Now listen, I can't sing, but it has nothing to do with singing. Now you got, this is your part, ready? When I say great, you say great. There's been a great change since I've been born. There's been a great change since I've been born. There's been a great change since I've been born. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Now watch. If there isn't a change, then are you even ankle deep? You see, this is where, as believers, there's got to be a shift and a change, because the presence of the Lord always brings change to our life. The next level is knee level.
You know what I find is that, have you ever gone wading in a pool? You get about knee deep and you start moving. You realize that there's motion and reaction as you're walking through. In fact, when you're doing rehabilitation and you need it on your knees, they'd like you to have it in the pool. Well, why is that? Because as you're moving around, there's impact happening on every step. You see, being knee-deep in the Spirit is powerful. When you're in the presence of the Lord knee-deep, you'll find that every single day the presence of the Lord is participating with your life. There are a lot of believers that don't have the Holy Ghost participating with their life every single day. They're good with Sunday. They're good if they have a problem. They're good because they're born again, but the Holy Spirit is not participating with their life. They see the Word of God makes a quick declaration. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. You see, when you're walking in the depths of the Spirit and you're knee-deep, spiritually, every single day, the Lord is guiding your steps. He is strengthening you. He is involved with your life. And many believers, they don't like that because then God constrains them. Don't go here. Don't do that. Don't go here. Don't do that. And the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. Place I used to go, there's been a great change since I've been born again. You see, the deeper you are in the Spirit, the more change you're going to have in your life. This is why many believers like ankle deep, because they don't have to change much. They really don't have to be involved much. They can still live any type of life they think they want to and desire to. They actually run over the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And the scary part about being ankle deep, you better hope there's no drought. Then you go waist deep, knee deep, excuse me, ankle deep, knee deep, and waist deep. Man, that's when you really start seeing the power of God. When the water is above your loins, loins represent reproduction, power, sustenance, generation. You see, as a believer, when you're walking in the presence of the Lord and you're so deep, you're up to your waist, you're going to start seeing more miracles and signs and wonders. You're going to start seeing that the gifts and the blessings of God will increase in your life, that the Lord God will start using you more, and your gifts and your talents, the anointing will be upon them. Why? Because you've gone to a level in the Spirit that His life is now your life, and your life is now His life. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. You see, we step into that place where God starts changing us and moving us as we're waist deep. You see, I love the fact how powerful water is. When you and I step into waist deep water, you see, water can change everything. My wife and I, we have a house, and out back of the house last year, how many of you know how dry it was? It was nice and dry when we bought the house. They forgot to tell us about what it turns into if it rains. So there's a nice creek out there. The creek is no longer the creek. The beavers made a new one. And all of a sudden, we realized, I can't even get to the other part of my 32 acres. Can't even get there. The water is rushing too fast. There's no place to cross. In fact, just the other day, we had built a bridge, and there was another section. We didn't have time to build a bridge yet, so what we did is we put in pallets. You know, the big, heavy pallets, not the light, old ones, but the big, heavy ones. We put in these pallets, and that last rain that went through literally picked up those pallets. I don't know how much they weigh. I want to say over at least 40 pounds. Picked them up and moved them at least 150 yards downstream. The power of water. The power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the presence of God. When you are waist deep, listen, waist deep water can literally take a house off a foundation. Waist deep water can actually take a car and sweep it away. Water is powerful. And when you're waist deep and God is starting to use you, I want you to know the power and authority that you step into. It is exciting to be waist deep in the presence and the power of God. And then, praise the Lord, you go over your head. That's when you're totally submerged in Christ. No longer I that lives. In him we live and move and have our being. Every layer of the presence of the Lord changes us. And I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, God, you know, I've been doing this a long time. Why is it that many people don't want the presence of the Lord? Why is it that many people do not want to live in the presence of the Lord? Why is it that people will play in the presence of the Lord? Why is it that people really will live any lifestyle they desire and come to the house in the presence of the Lord and there is no movement within them? And he said to me, it's because they don't want my presence. You see, the presence of the Lord does two things in our lives. Number one, it reveals Christ. But number two, it reveals you. Number one, the presence of the Lord always reveals Christ. You know, Jesus loves you so much. I mean, I'm talking a little bit. I'm talking abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. I'm talking every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights. I'm talking that God is good and not bad. I'm talking Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God sent Jesus of Nazareth and anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. And Jesus went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil. You see, God has great things for his children. Man, things you can't even think of. Your eye has not seen. Your ear has not heard. Your mind cannot even conceive the great things that God has for those who love him. But all of that is revealed in the presence of the Lord. This is why many believers are frustrated with Christianity. They're frustrated with God. Why? Because they've chosen to withhold from the presence of the Lord enough to where they're saved, but they never step into even ankle deep, waist deep, knee deep, to where now God can start bringing change to them. I didn't figure I'd get a lot of amens. One or two would have been nice. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27. Says this, that he might sanctify. Sanctification. What is sanctification? It means being set apart. When you got married, you got up there, you gave your vows. Why did you give your vows? You gave your vows to sanctify or set yourself apart from everybody else. Now, there is something out there called open marriages. Anybody ever heard of that before? Open marriages, where you go down the aisle, you make your commitment to each other, but now you can have sex with anybody you want. Open marriage. How many of you think that's pretty good? That's bad. I just want to encourage you. No. Open marriages are bad because why? Because when you get married, you've sanctified, set yourself apart from all the other men and all the other women. That's why, man, Facebook is so evil at times. I see men and women, I have to do counseling. Why? Because they're chatting with somebody from their past. Men, you should not be hanging. One man said to me, my best friend's a woman. I said, then you better get rid of her. Men are friends with men. Women are friends with women.
Selah.
Men are friends with men. Women are friends with women. Men minister to men. Women minister to women. The reason for that is you've sanctified yourself to somebody. If you're married, you've set yourself apart. When we got saved, when we went ankle deep, we made a declaration. My life is not my own. I'm setting myself apart for the Lord. Now listen, this power, this scripture is so powerful. That he might sanctify and cleanse her. He's talking about his bride. Though with the washing of, the washing of water by the word. That he might present her to himself. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But he should have, and that she should be holy and without blemish. You see, the presence of the Lord not only reveals the goodness of Jesus, but also reveals the badness of us. It's one of the main reasons people don't want the presence of the Lord deeper than ankle or knee. Miles Monroe says this, "What is that sin that you're doing in private that will destroy you publicly? What are those things that you've had hidden even from your spouse that nobody knows about, but yet God knows them?" Listen, we are naked in the presence of the Lord. And we've got to get back to the understanding that the presence of God is not bad, not there to put his finger and condemn you, but to save you. You see, sin destroys lives. Can I hear an amen? For the wages of sin is death. And many times we forget that in our church of grace, where everybody's just can do whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want. I want you to know this. That the presence of the Lord does not participate with sin. Well, let me say one more time. The presence of the Lord does not participate with sin. The presence of the Lord does not participate with sin. The more you get the sin out, the more presence you get in. You'll never be more satisfied than when you start getting waist deep in the presence of Jesus. And man, when you all of a sudden start swimming in his glory, when you are enveloped in him, we live and move and have our being. I want you to know that there's no greater joy than being totally led by the Spirit of God, where God is in control of every facet of your life. And man, you can sit back and know that you know, not wonder, not only that you're going to go to heaven, but that God's destiny is going to come to fruition in your life, that you are a person that he's placed here at this time in this season to do mighty things for the kingdom. But it's not by might. It's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You see, this is shown. I said, Lord, you need to show me this in Scripture. And he showed me. Showed me two times. How about John the apostle? When Jesus met John, John was a fisherman. He had at least two boats, good size, medium boats, they say. And here he is, he's out fishing, and Jesus walks by and says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's the first introduction of Christ to John. There all of a sudden we start seeing John started to follow him. There had to be a presence on Jesus that was so magnetizing by the anointing and the presence of God that John was willing to step away from his business to start following the Messiah. I'm here to tell you today, that day that Jesus was water baptized in Mark chapter 1 and he came out of the water and the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, and the Spirit of God descended on him. That day Jesus started working and living in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and that day his ministry began. When John met Jesus, the presence of the Lord that was on Christ drew him from the world and drew him to Jesus. How many have been saved? The presence of Jesus drew you from the world, showed you your sin, convicted you, and you called upon the name of the Lord and you were saved. But his relationship didn't stop there. He started hanging out with Jesus. I'm talking walking with him. I'm talking sleeping in the same area with him with the rest of the disciples. Man, he was called the beloved of Christ. He was the one that sat and laid next to the bosom of Jesus while they were even eating at the Passover. He had a relationship with Jesus. You see, the greater relationship you have with the Lord, the more you understand his presence, the more you understand your purpose, and the more you start having revealed even the things in your own life that need to be changed. You see, Jesus died one day. And when he died, John was right there watching. But something happened 3 days later that he did not remain in the grave, but he rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, John saw him again. But yet the presence of Jesus was different when he saw him again. It was deeper because Christ walked through the wall. You see, I want you to know today that Jesus Christ will reveal himself to you. He will bring you deeper in your walk with him. The presence will increase in your life and you will find find that you'll walk differently, you'll walk more powerfully, and you'll do more things for Jesus the closer you are to him in his presence. Even after all of this, Jesus revealed himself to John in another manner. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, John was on the Isle of Patmos, and all of a sudden, Jesus, the revelation, came through. Jesus showed up, revealed himself in his glory, revealed himself in the deepest presence that John could ever and had ever been into at that point in time. And what happened was this, is that John didn't stand up and go, "Hey, bud, how are you?" Slap, 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 slap. When you get into the deepest presence of the Lord, he is not only revealing his love and his passion and his revelation to you, but also he's showing you who you and I are. And John didn't stay up and stand up, but John fell to the ground. Oh, I love this verse. It says it like this in John 1:17. When I saw Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead. When was the last time you were so in awe with God that you couldn't even stand? When was the last time that the presence of the Lord was so thick where you were? Well, I came to church and it wasn't that thick there. This had nothing to do with church, because you can have the presence of the Lord anywhere. The very first time I felt this presence of God, I was not in class. I was not in a service. I was in my room studying with my friend called Danny Holmes. There were four of us in this room, two bunk beds, four grown men, and one small closet. When one passed gas, we all were asphyxiated. It was that small. And in the middle of the night when you needed to study, and it was 3 a.m., we were studying theology, and we had to get in the closet. So we're in the closet, and all of a sudden, I don't even know what happened. We were just talking about Jesus. The favorite topic of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Can I hear an amen? You want the presence of the Lord? You start talking about the goodness of Jesus. I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Man, you start to praise him. You start to worship him, and his presence starts to show up. And then you open yourself and say, God, I want all that you got for me. Jesus, I want to go deeper than I've ever gone before. And all of a sudden that night, man, the presence of Jesus was so powerful that I had to fall out of my chair. Danny fell out of his chair, and we worshiped for 2 hours while our buddies were sleeping in the bed over. Why is that? Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. I want you to recognize that we all have the depth of the Spirit that we desire, but God is saying, listen, I want to reveal myself to you, but I want to reveal you to you. How about Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. You would think he'd stand and worship, but that's not what happened. You see, when you get into the deepest presence of the Lord, as you start growing in your relationship with Jesus, as you start going from one layer, one length, one depth to the next depth, what ends up happening is the revelation about who you are starts coming out. One time I was on a trip by myself, and all of a sudden I was laying in bed and I was praying, and the Spirit of God came on me. And he's showing me the dark places in my heart. I've been pastoring for many years. And he starts showing me. You see, the deeper you get in his presence, the things he starts showing you. Why does he show you these dark things? Why does he show you these things that need to be changed? Because he loves us. Because he wants us to be closer to him. Because he wants to get those things out that are going to destroy us. Man, we've got to go after God. That day, I made a declaration to the Lord. And I looked at those black places in my heart. And I said, Jesus, I want you to change me. But in his presence, he will start to change. Start to transition. Start to heal. Start to revive. Start to breathe. And all of a sudden, what was once drudgery, now God has new life instead. You see, when Isaiah saw the Lord, this is the words that came out of him. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he'd taken from the tongs of the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sins are purged. You see, this is what the Lord wants to do. He starts revealing to us as we go from length and depth to one depth to the next. And all of a sudden, we start being revealed. He starts showing us those dark places. He starts saying, listen, I need to get in there. You see, I'm good. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to destroy you. But you've been carrying some of these wounds for decades. You've been playing with these sins for decades. It's only going to destroy you. See, when I said, God, why do people want to be in your presence? He said, because they don't want to deal with those dark places. It's easier just to play ankle deep and play in the waters. Today I have a challenge for you. You see, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he didn't die just to get you to heaven. If he died to get you to heaven, you'd already be there. He died so that you could be powerful. You're his ambassador. You're his mouthpiece. You're his hands that will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You're his mouth that will command the devils to come out in Jesus' name. You're the one who walks with the gospel, the power of God and the salvation. You are the children of the Most High King, and God's contact and mandate are intense with our lives. But we choose how deep we'll go or how shallow we'll stay. You know, I'll end with this. It's interesting. When I met my wife, she walked by in a miniskirt. And I said, dear Jesus, I got to get to know that girl. I want some, you know, some people say, well, the Lord told me that this would be my wife. Nope, that's not what happened with me. She walked by, she had great legs. Jesus, help us all. I thank God for miniskirts. But if that shallow was as deep as our relationship ever got, then when trouble came, I'd have nothing to stand on. Where is your relationship? Where is the presence of the Lord? Where are you? Are you ankle deep? Are you knee deep? Are you waist deep? Or are you so engulfed with the presence of the Lord? I love what Moses said. Man, he was such a powerful man. He said, Jesus, God, I won't go anywhere without your presence. But the last statement was this. Please show me your glory. You see, glory is the greatest depth you'll go. Is that weightiness of the presence of the Lord. And we have to be the ones that say every single day, Jesus, in the environment that I live in, I choose to foster the atmosphere of the supernatural. And that comes as we invite him to be there. You'll grow from glory to glory, faith to faith, and all of a sudden, you can be a pillar and a giant in the kingdom. And do great and mighty things. God's no respecter of persons. How deep do you want to go? How much do you want to see? What do you want him to do in your life? What are you carrying that you're now so sick of? It's time to get into the presence of the Holy Spirit. Time to get into the presence of the healer and allow him to extract. What are these things in our life? Because until we determine we're moving ahead, pray no droughts. Pray no droughts. Today, where are you? Bow your heads with me this morning. I challenge you. I challenge you. No man knows your heart. You could be the happiest person on the planet, but inside your heart is far from God. This has nothing to do with anybody else. This has nothing to do with your spouse. This has nothing to do with your boyfriend or girlfriend. This has nothing to do with anybody but you. Where are you? Are you ankle deep? Are you knee deep? Are you waist deep? Are you swimming? Have you seen His glory? There's got to be something, a compulsion, a drive within your spirit, man. I've got to have more of Jesus. Today, if you do not know Him, today, if you're not living before Him, today, if you're not sure if you'll see Him face to face if you take your last breath, there's no other name under heaven to be saved but by the name of Jesus. A church can't save you. A religion can't save you. Your mom and dad can't save you. The preacher can't save you. There's only one name. His name is Christ. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And today God is saying, I want to bring you to the first level. I want to not only get you saved, set free from your sin, know that you can go to heaven, but I want to confirm, I want to touch you supernaturally that your faith will not be built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. Today, if you're not right with Jesus and you choose to be, you want to go to the first level, I'd like you to raise your hand up this morning. Today, you want to give your heart to the Lord. Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else this morning? You want to get your heart right with Jesus? I'm not going to wait long. Thank you, sir. You can put it right back down. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3. Thank you, ma'am. 2. I'm not going to wait long. Thank you, young man. Last call and 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. You know, as your pastor, just as a parent, I want my kids to go deeper than me. I want my children to know God more than me. I want my children to accelerate in every area of their life and be successful in every area, especially the one that's going to last for eternity. Moms and dads, you're the one. You're the ones who create the atmosphere at your house. You're the ones who teach your children how to worship, not Mackenzie. You're the ones who teach them the word, not the preacher. You're the ones who teach them how to walk waist deep. You're the ones who teach them how to lay hands when they're sick and to see them recover. You're the ones who teach them to surrender to Jesus when everything is uncomfortable. You see, you got to surrender your will to go deep. Wow, that's the thing. Surrendering our will. My rights. This is what I have a right to. This is what I think is good. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what we call right. It matters what He calls right. I love the last verse. I said it earlier. It's found in the book of Psalms, chapter 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I want it all. I don't know about you. I'm greedy in the spirit. God wants you to be greedy in the spirit. Nobody's more important than Him. Can I hear an amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You that today, God, You want us more than we want You. You want to take us to places we have never been before in Your spirit. Lord, just as You showed John faith to faith, glory to glory, God, we ask that You'll take us on this adventure. And then, Lord, we'll surrender our lives. We'll sanctify ourselves, set ourselves apart for You. Lord, and stop playing with the world. I don't know how many of you read the blog yesterday, but the title was Sin Fits Me. And many times we are so used to sinning that we actually think it looks good on us. It fits us. And the picture in the blog is the woman who won the world's record for the smallest waist, 15-inch waist. She kept putting on, what do they call those? She kept putting on corsets and making them tighter and tighter and tighter until all of a sudden her body conformed to a 15-inch waist. She didn't look right. But yet to her,
she looked good. Some of you are playing with sin so long, it looks good on you. And it's time to get the sin out in the presence of the Lord. And you'll find freedom comes when you get the sin out. Can I hear an amen? Don't let sin look good on you. Well, I'm not doing any major sins. No, but it might be that small rebellion that you have that you always even show in your own home. Sin is sin, baby. And sin separates. Allow the presence of the Lord to change your life. I'll have the prayer team come to the front of the altar real quickly. If you need prayer for anything, the prayer team's here. And if you raise your hand for salvation, and there were at least four folks that raised their hand for salvation or rededication, I'd like you to meet me right down front. Come on, get right out of your chair. Give them a hand clap this morning as they come out of their chair. Meet me right down here in the front. There you go, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you, sir. Come on, young ladies. You raise your hand for getting right with God. This is your moment. Don't let anybody stop you. Don't let anybody hold you back. This is your moment. This is your moment. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. I'm going to have you pray with Mindy right here. Father, I just release blessings supernaturally on each one of these that raised their hand. I declare that God, your Spirit, will confirm with them that they are children of the living God. And Lord, I release a blessing upon each one in this room. Draw us, Holy Ghost. Draw us deeper, Holy Ghost. Don't let us stay ankle deep. God, bring us to a place where we know you, not just know about you, and where we know ourselves and where you're changing us to be more like you. We give you all the honor and glory. Let us lead at least one soul to you this week in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, we love you. Have an awesome week in Jesus. Serve God with all of your heart.